we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go!
Welcome in, everybody. We are back in the FTN Dynasty Podcast. We are rolling. It is August. Football is here. You may be listening to this on Thursday. This is getting recorded on Wednesday, but we might have football tonight if you are listening here on Thursday. The preseason's about to start. Hall of Fame game is here. We have, you know, maybe some cleanup going on as far as some rookie drafts go. The trades are flying on the dynasty market, but we also have plenty of dynasty startups going on. Plenty of questions in the FTN Discord on dynasty startup values. So we're going to kind of look at that today. Here, once we get into the show a little bit, we're gonna concentrate on some dynasty values in the startup world here. Like I said, some people are checking back in. Some people are deciding to make that dynasty leap from redraft players to dynasty. So we're going to concentrate a little bit on that here today. So that is going to be an exciting show. But we have some news around the NFL going on. Injuries are rampant in training camp, especially in San Francisco. The electrical substation conspiracy is live and flowing. It's got a Twitter account now, so that's always fun. Check that one out, right? So there's definitely plenty of injuries over there in San Francisco. We've seen some to Mekhi Lemon, some other players, a lot of just a little bit of bang up. Nothing too serious thus far outside of Ricky Pearsall and Chris Brazel Jr. since we last talked. Both of them going down to season-ending knee injuries here over the last few weeks. And more concerning for Pearsall, it's a continuing lingering issue, and now we've rostered him for a bit, and it starts to seem like he's becoming a little bit of a liability on our dynasty rosters. Definitely a player it's going to be hard to pitch and sell at the moment. Maybe you sell him on that injury discount, especially if you're a contending team. I'd probably cut bait at this point. Try to get the best you can for Ricky Pearsall. Again, it's going to be a discounted rate, but at this point, I feel like I'm ready to just cut bait. The injuries are piling up too much, and the best thing for me as a fantasy manager is availability, something that he has not been able to give us as managers and or the 49ers thus far in his career. As far as Chris Brazel Jr. goes, just stash him on the taxi squad. He probably was going there as well. You could also put him on IR if you have both options in your dynasty leagues. Leave that taxi squad open, stash somebody else in there, maybe Malik Benson, someone a little bit late, you know, someone that's still floating out in there, maybe Cyrus Allen still out there for you in some of these dynasty leagues. One little hack there if you want to toss him on the IR. Again, you could save that for your players later down the season, but I typically like to do that. If I get somebody a season-ending injury, a rookie, I'll toss him in the IR and then ride it out. More than likely, I shouldn't have, you know, 3-4 players go down on IR. Unless you get 2 IR spots, then maybe reconsider. But either way, that's basically the big news there in the injury front thus far that's major. Again, we have some minor injuries. Mike Evans, Mekhi Lemon, some other players with some bumps and bruises. It's early, so when we are looking at training camp, remember to take everything with a grain of salt. Teams are going to be extra cautious on the injury front. There's no need to rush them back this early into training camp. They will be able to sit out for a bit and still be ready for week one for these teams. So don't take that too much to the panic and to the bank. The big news today, obviously, would be Stephon Diggs. Diggs signs in Washington, really tanking Terry McLaurin, a guy that I was touting, I guess, leading into this last few weeks. Posted up a tweet there on FTN Fantasy, you know, one of the potential wide receiver ones that no one's talking about. That's getting nuked as of now o'clock. So Diggs there in Washington really brings an element that's nice for Jaden Daniels. It's nice for the offense as a whole. Really is going to cap Terry McLaurin. Probably Chigga Conquo as well, and really buries Antonio Williams for a bit. He'll probably see some snaps, but still a good player to hold on to in dynasty leagues. But we again have to temper our expectations. Another player like Brazel that like maybe just stick him on the taxi squad now. Likely to not have a huge role outside of an injury there in Washington this year. Obviously with Treylon Burks still floating around and looking pretty good in camp, I really do think Antonio Williams probably is null and void here for us in 2026. So stick around the taxi squad, let him mature there. All right. And again, for Diggs, viable. If you're a contender, maybe you go get him. asking price is going to be key here. Don't want to pay too much for him. But as a contender, again, you're trying to win the game here. So second round pick is probably what I'm guessing most of the market will be at for him. I'm not paying a first. If I, again, I'm a true contender, the back half of my league, I would probably pay a 2027 second to go get Diggs if I need that final piece there at the back end of the flex part of my roster. All right. Before we dive into startup ADP values, we got to talk about the people who are powering the show. FTN Fantasy. Definitely check that out. Their name's on the podcast cover. It's easy, right? Head on over to FTNFantasy.com. Check out all the fun stuff. Whether you play Dynasty, Redraft, you name it, we have you covered. If you play any fantasy sport, we have you covered over at FTN Fantasy. If you just like general football, head on over there. We got Aaron Schatz's DVOA. Everything and anything you could need. Cheat sheets, rankings, advanced data, start-sit stuff, Discord, where you can talk to all of our lovely faces and get the one-on-one attention that you desire from us to help you make the better fantasy player. So head on over there. Check that stuff out if you're not a member. Think about it. Look at the pricing. Couple different levels there. All right. Either way, head on over there. Check it out. FTNFantasy.com. Okay. Now that that's out of the way, let's dive back in to some football. What we're all here to talk about. And that's Dynasty Startups. Like I said, there's probably not as many as there were June, May, February. When that lull hits, that we all want to just join Dynasty Startups. But there's definitely some. Like I said, we see it in the FTN Discord. I've had a few questions already over the last few weeks of who to take in Dynasty Startups. So they're floating around there. So I'm going to cater to the people. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it, you know. We're going to talk about some of those players right now that are sitting in good value positions. I'm going to talk about some earlier names, and I'm going to toss two later type of names. Obviously, there are more than this that are at a good value. That's where the subscription to FTN Fantasy and the Discord comes in handy. You can always ask questions while you're on the clock. But hearing this, remember, when we're starting Dynasty Startups, you're really looking at acquiring talent. And typically, my approach in Dynasty Startups, depending on the league format, you're leaning heavily into wide receivers. That's my approach. Hate it, love it. Don't have to agree with me. That's just the way I play the game. I'm going to try to build a really solid wide receiver core, longer position to have a better shelf life if you can hit on all of those players. The running backs can be filled in. I've won plenty of dynasty leagues with a amazing wide receiver core and patchwork running backs. It just can happen. And it can go the other way. If you have two top, if you manage to have Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, I'm sure you can win your fantasy league if you have, Stephon Diggs as your first wide receiver on your roster. Now, I just don't feel that's a long-term success plan. So, wide receivers and Dynasty Startup, that's where I'm looking. You know, maybe I'm adding myself a premier tight end and quarterback are probably the priorities. Running back is like kind of meh for me when I'm looking at this. So, as you notice, when we talk about these, I don't actually have a running back. I don't really see at the moment a ton of great value picks at running back. The later picks at running back are older guys. And in startups, again, you can draft them. It's not the end of the world, depending on where your roster looks in round 10. But again, I'm kind of passing on a lot of them. Maybe I'm grabbing one early because I want like one younger guy. But again, those guys are going early. So the value isn't really there in a startup as opposed to some of these more better value picks at the other positions. So again, take them where you want. You can take them early. I'm not going to judge. But these other players maybe fall a little bit further back, and that's where that value comes in. So you can maybe still get Jonathan Taylor and some of the names we're going to talk about. We're going to lead off with maybe one of the polarizing players in the league at the moment, and that is Rashee Rice. All right. Right now, he's going as wide receiver 17, 42nd overall. So you're looking third to fourth round type of territory here on Rashee Rice and Dynasty Startups. All the chaos aside, Rashee Rice is really the focal point in that Chiefs passing attack that still doesn't have a complementary option taking place. Xavier Worthy's had his struggles to get on the field and really be a permanent piece of that offense. Travis Kelce is on the wrong side of his career at this point. You know, there's the hype around it in Cyrus Allen in training camp right now. Taquan Thornton's had some fun, but nothing substantial and viable here for us as fantasy managers. The only real piece is Rashee Rice. All right, when you look at the advanced data over at FTN Fantasy, his yards per route run is upper tier, 2.3 yards per route run last season. He had a 51% success rate, two good positive numbers. Where it really gets less enticing is that he only had 11% explosive play rate, was very pedestrian when it comes to explosive play rates. Again, he only played 8 games, so that could have been a little bit higher later in the season. He could have, you know, leveled that playing field a bit. The issue with Rashee Rice is the target share in the air. He only had 6 targets over 20 yards. That was near the bottom of qualifying wide receivers. And he had one of the lowest first read target rates. Okay. Where his game is yards after the catch. 7.8 yards after the catch led the league last season. Okay. So Rashee Rice is a player that they get the ball in his hands and he makes plays in the short area. We've learned that. That's just who he is. So when you're looking at some of this advanced data, you know, the explosive play rate's not going to look great and it might scare you away a little bit. But that's not his game, okay? We don't need, when it comes to data, we have to apply the data correctly other than just looking at a bunch of numbers, all right? These players still play in the NFL, and they have to be good at certain roles, and sometimes they get typecast, and that's where they play. If they're elite at that talent in that position, there's a chance they're going to be really, really strong fantasy assets. The top receiver paired with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, despite not being a downfield target, still a very, very explosive and viable fantasy asset for us. So Rashee Rice right now in the early rounds really feels like a value. It was not long ago that he was the hot name on the market and probably was going 2 rounds earlier, probably round 1-2 turn. I can't remember off the top of my head that couple of years back, but definitely a player that has sunk a bit in value, and I do expect to probably rise. Probably don't have a ton of startups. Probably still have August. You might get some in there. But again, a player that might rise a bit, but a really good value, I think, at wide receiver 17 right now. The other wide receiver I want to talk about, a little bit of another player that's coming off of a down season, and that would be Jaylen Waddle. All right. The big name that got traded over to Denver is going as a wide receiver 29 right now, 70th overall. A sweet spot for wide receivers in this territory. There's a lot that I do like, but I do think Jaylen Waddle probably has the most upside of any of them. Cortland Sutton is aging. They've got some guys in like Troy Franklin and Pat Bryant there in Denver that are going to have some touches in there. No real answer at tight end. Evan Engram didn't live up to it. Rumors are Taysom Hill's coming over there to make everything messy. The running backs, again, kind of a mess of committee. But they really, the Broncos were struggling in explosive play rate last year. They just didn't generate explosive plays. It was not part of their offense. What does Jaylen Waddle do? He creates explosive plays. He had a 14% explosive play rate last year, which was in the upper portion of the league, leading to 2.3 yards per route run. Another solid number, okay? The concerning factor with Jaylen Waddle is his yards after the catch, okay? In 2022, he's career high. 6.9 or 6.8 yards per hour or yards after catch. Holy cannolis. All right. 6.8 yards after the catch in 2022. That was Jaylen Waddle. And we've seen it steadily decrease. He went from that to 5.8, 4.5, and 3.6 last season. Injuries are probably paying a key in this, as well as the offense in general. The Dolphins offense has struggled. Tua's kind of struggled to lead receivers over the last few seasons. And in general, we saw Mike McDaniel get fired. The offense in general for the Dolphins has kind of fallen apart over the last few seasons. So we have to look at that and kind of take it. Is it Waddle that the recession's coming here in this category, or is it more of just that environment in which he was in Miami? I lean to a little bit of both. I think that's the safe play. That's the average area here. It's probably a little bit of both. But I do think Bo Nix a little bit more accurate, probably. I think the way that Sean Payton's going to deploy Waddle is a little bit more towards that rookie season. I think they're going to pepper him with targets. I think he is Denver's wide receiver one. Sutton's still going to be involved. Like I said, Franklin, they're gonna pass it and they're going to throw around the yard to all these players. But I think Waddle is going to be their featured receiver. He's going to open up this passing attack, something that they didn't have. Franklin was good last season, but they didn't. Franklin's not a yards after catch, short area type of receiver. He struggled in this category when he saw those targets last season. He was really more of just a, hey, get on your horse, get downfield, make those types of plays. And Franklin does well in there. Where I think Jalen Waddle is going to be a little bit more to that short intermediate PPR type of territory, but still giving you some of those bigger plays over the top of the defense once they start to suck them in on the run game. And some of those shorter, you know, a double move type of play here out of Jalen Waddle to get deep. And I'm sure that we'll see that. Additionally, Nix had the second highest prayer yards last season, according to FTN data. And that is basically low percentage throws, kind of just tossing it up there for the best of hopes. He also had the sixth most dropped air yards. So again, Bo Nix and this passing attack was not up to snuff last season. They addressed that in Jalen Waddle. And I know Waddle is a bit older in that wide receiver category, but still has plenty left on the bone as long as the injuries can get mitigated a bit. And I'm hoping new environment, maybe we see a little bit of that. Either way, I think where we're in this territory, in the middle territory at the wide receiver position, you're talking wide receiver threes, obviously going off at wide receiver 29. He has the highest upside in that group, clearly also where he sits just barely into the wide receiver three territory. So a guy that I think is a really good value. I think he could be a high-end wide receiver two for a good couple of years here still. I think he's got enough left in the tank as long as he can stay healthy. Again, that's the biggest factor, probably part of the reason that it is built into his cost being more of a wide receiver three than wide receiver two paired with age that has dropped him down here. But I think good value. I think that we should be definitely targeting him depending on the build in the earlier portions of the rounds. One quarterback for you, and then we are going to go into the late round targets that I like. Quarterback I like is a guy that was cast off a bit, probably still hasn't really lived up to the hype that we had hoped for when he came out of Clemson. Anybody got the answer? Anybody? Paging anybody? What? Trevor Lawrence. That is correct. Quarterback 12. 65th overall. The quarterback position, if you're playing one quarterback, you can kind of punt it. It's a pretty deep position. This is the territory I like to start to look at it. Especially in Dynasty, I punt less at quarterback in Dynasty because I still want a franchise quarterback that's locked to a team for a bit that is at least average to above average to kind of give me a level quarterback to deal with. And then I can take some risks on some other guys, maybe some rookies that are a little later in the draft or mid tiers, like maybe a Kyler Murray's a little bit later that I could take a shot on, maybe being a short term bridge guy, but I also have the stability of somebody. And Trevor Lawrence kind of gives you that, if not more. Rostered until 2029. He has the rushing upside. Last season, he averaged over 20 points per game in Liam Cohen's offense and going to be paired with that for the foreseeable future. They looked good. I mean, unless Cohen falls flat this year, I expect him to be in Jacksonville for the next few years. He had the 12th highest EPA, 14th highest per drop back. If you don't know what EPA is, expected points. It's a good stat. It's a predictive stat. I like it. He also was mid-pack in turnover-worthy throws. He was kind of taking care of the ball a little bit more than years past. With Lawrence, it's more of some of the stuff's starting to come together for him in the game. It's a favorable system. We have seen that. We saw Baker eat in the system for a bit. And now Lawrence is getting that benefit, as well as he's just got a loaded skill position room. And when we talk about this all the time in fantasy, sometimes it's easier to target the quarterback than trying to decipher which wide receiver is going to get the targets. Okay, you have an explosive room. And Brian Thomas Jr., who failed to live up to the hype last season, but we saw a phenomenal rookie season. That talent is still there in Brian Thomas Jr. You have Travis Hunter, who has been now kind of cast over to the cornerback side, but will see some plays. Explosive when the ball gets in his hand. Jacoby Myers is a great PPR guy. Parker Washington came on last season. You've got Brenton Strange. You've got Tanner Koziel. You have Rashad Hutton. You have LaQuint Allen. There's a lots of skill position players and names here in these rooms at Cohen's dispensables and usabilities, and Trevor Lawrence is going to benefit from that. And he feels like a rock solid quarterback one for the next foreseeable future. He's my dark horse this year to be the quarterback one overall. I really think that if this run game can't get off the ground, you're going to see a little bit more rushing touchdowns from him in the red zone territories. You're also going to see them throw the ball a ton. You have this many playmakers, there's no way that you're going to run the ball, you know, 52% of the time. I definitely think you're going to be leaning into the 52, 53, 54% throw rates comparatively. I think they're going to rely on his arm, and I think he has enough to get it done. A lot of this stuff will come down to, again, the missed opportunities last season with Brian Thomas Jr. that may be able to hit this year with Thomas Jr. being a little bit more healthy this year. So Trevor Lawrence, a big guy that I'm in on, waiting till quarterback 12. I think that's a great spot for him. Last end of that quarterback one territory, and you're getting the value. You can build the roster up in the first few rounds, snag him. You've got your quarterback one for the next few seasons, especially if you're playing a one quarterback, you're set. Superflex, you know, different territory there when we're talking about quarterbacks. There's not really values at quarterback and superflex. If you're playing superflex startup, just get some quarterbacks. Best advice there. All right. Couple more minutes here. We're going to just speed run through the two late round guys that I have. Two guys that I really like. If you've been listening, I've probably talked about them in the past. If you're, you know, talking on the Crossroads Routes podcast as well, which debuted on what, Monday? Now I'll be there rest of the season. You're going to hear my voice here and there. Yeah, we're talking about these guys probably a lot. Jaden Higgins is the first one. First one coming off the board of the group that I have here. Wide receiver 43, 102 overall. Solid rookie season. I mean, six touchdowns, that's respectable. Over 500 yards, decent. Don't love it, but wish you would have a little more, but still solid. He had a 0.2 EPA per touch. Solid number again. This was all on only 56% of the snaps. He wasn't really a focal point. It took a bit for him to come on. It was a little later in the season, but the Texans moved on from Christian Kirk from Christian Kirk, and now they have Jalen Noel, Jaden Higgins, Nico Collins. Tank Dell floating around there, but again, we're going to see where that goes. Either way, feels like Tank Dell and Noel are going to be kind of the splitting type of territory there. Those two fit in the same mold of a little bit of a deep type threat player. I think Jaden Higgins and Nico Collins are your two perimeter receivers, probably play most of the time. You're going to see him now closer to that 80% snap share. I really think that if this offensive line revamping and the addition of David Montgomery can get this run game going, this passing attack is going to open up again, and we're going to kind of see a little bit closer to what we saw for CJ Stroud in his rookie season than we did last year. I don't know if we get all the way to those heights, but I do think that this passing attack improves tremendously. I think that Jaden Higgins could be easily close to 900 yards. Again, 8 to 10 touchdowns, and that's a pretty solid season to start. I wasn't a huge fan of Jaden Higgins coming out, but I think the environment he's in right now, and he showed some things I was concerned about as far as separation getting open, that he could handle that at the NFL level more than I had anticipated. So I'm going to rewind a bit and say I'm in on Jaden Higgins right now. I think the value is good here. And again, coming off the wide receiver 43, that's a good spot for a guy who could easily next year be in the 20s at some point. 20s to low 30s, I think, by coming of this time next year. He'll probably be closer to that. And, you know, we'll be talking about him as a potential overrated. We'll see. That would be always good, right, if you're rostering him. Last but not least player we're going to talk about here today is Josh Downs, a guy that I've pounded the table for since he came out of UNC. He's getting a chance this year. He's wide receiver 57 right now off the board, 127th overall. This will rise. Training camp has had a ton of positive notes for Josh Downs coming out of it. He is going to get an expanded role in 2026. Michael Pittman is gone. This is now opening up those targets, okay? 19% target share is what Michael Pittman had last season. Downs was at just about 16%. You expect Downs to probably be closer to 19 to 20 now. That 19 is not going just Nowhere. Okay. Alec Pierce can't get it all, and neither can Tyler Warren. After that, there's not much left on this roster. Downs, Warren, and Pierce will all see probably a couple percentage increase. I think Downs sees the most. They've heard, or there has been talks that he is playing on the outside a little bit more already in camp and will this season. He did that some at UNC. He is a great man beater. He's a twitchy route runner. And despite being a little bit undersized, he is very good at beating some of the bigger corners. His yards per route run wasn't ideal last season. And again, pointing it to last season is tough. The role he was in was kind of an interior guy. He was more of a, you know, move the chains type of player. He was at 50% on his success rate. He only had a 4.5% explosive play rate. Again, but he only had 8 targets over 20 yards. Like, he wasn't used down the field as much as he probably will be used this year. Michael Pittman was a little bit more of an intermediate to short area type of target earner, where Alec Pierce is the over-the-top guy. The guy that kept is the over-the-top guy in Alec Pierce because of what he did. He's been elite at that position the last few seasons. Michael Pittman, his role is going to probably be more towards what Josh Downs does best. Again, the better routes in the intermediate types of territory, getting open, creating separation. That's something that Downs does well, and he did it well at UNC into that intermediate area as well of the field. So I think this is perfect. I think that Downs is going to get that expanded role, and I think there's a good chance he explodes this season. A little bit older than, say, Jaden Higgins, so I'd probably prioritize Higgins over Downs, but both of them are guys that are, like, you could go back-to-back, hit Higgins, Downs, bam, in the back half of your draft, and I think you'd be sitting pretty at your bench spots in your wide receiver position. Talking this late, you should probably already have two pretty solid go-to guys. And these guys could be flex type of players, which is where you want them to be at this point. But they do have that upside to become permanent staples in our lineups if all the cards do fall right. All right. That's all I got for you today. We're in. We're out. We got the information to you. Hopefully digestible. If not, again, check FTN Fantasy. Head on to the Discord. You could shoot me over at Twitter as well. Popes_FF. Shoot the questions. If you got questions about what I said, feel free. DM me, whatever your choice is, or find me in the FTN Discord. Again, I'll be there to answer the questions. Always love answering questions. So, remember, follow me. Just gave you that. I'll give it to you again. Popes, POPES_FF on X, Popes FFH. Still got that handle there on Blue Sky. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast on all platforms. Greatly appreciated. Make sure you're following FTN Fantasy on all of the socials as well. Same handle at X and Blue Sky, Instagram, TikTok, you name it. FTN Fantasy is everywhere. Until next time, as always, thank you for the listen. Take care.